It's Sunday morning, August 7th.
Oh, yes, Lord. We ask for your blessing on our time together today. We ask that there would be a flowing of your Spirit, that your truth would be in the very heart of whatever is said today, and that we would have ears to hear your truth, Lord. And there's something more I'd like to tack on. Our pastor has gotten kind of an idea that recently he has the feeling that he is kind of on the sidelines of what the Lord is up to. He's, I don't know, too old, whatever it is. Whatever his thinking is. So, Lord, I am asking that you would use Keith before his days are over. You would use Keith to do one or more really remarkable things that are from you. From you. Whether surprising healings, whether whatever, you know, and I don't know that it has to be confined to one, but Lord, that there would be something that you would use Keith for in a big way. There would be some really remarkable miracle that occurs because of Keith's praying for it. And Lord, I also ask that Keith would know that this is going to happen, that you would plant that knowledge in him, that he can anticipate that his remaining days include some really remarkable ministering, and that would be a source of encouragement or whatever, strengthening, whatever, that he would know that, no, he is not on the sidelines until his days are over with, that he will be used in the very heart of your purposes. Well, by your Spirit, that you would do that good thing by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
What do you think of that, Keith?
Well, I was just going to say it's kind of a strange request, Charlie.
Dad likes those kinds. Stranger the better.
But when you get to be a certain age, you do kind of feel that way.
To our Lord is not what age is to us.
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason why. But anyway.
Of course, Moses was earlier, was later, older when he did what he did.
Oh, his ministry started at age 80, I believe. You're ways past that, but just the same.
Probably bears repeating, but yeah, it wouldn't be the first time that the Lord has used you in a miraculous way, so I don't consider this a really steep request. Mm-hmm. You've been used powerfully by the Lord through your entire life. So.
Everyone's days are numbered. It's just how we use those days, not the number of days, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it matters if you're young or old or in between. Everybody goes through dry spells. I mean, it's just like, you just wake up and you're going, oh, yeah. I've got nothing. And then you wake up days going, I should be just jumping out of bed going, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all the, you know, I mean, and I'll go to bed thanking him for all these things. And the next thing I'm thinking about is, what am I going to do tomorrow when I'm still not focusing on thanking the Lord and just having that be just a greatness? My mind wanders a little too much. So that's just human.
Yes, let's just acknowledge that the thought that Keith had was not of God, but of the enemy. And I know other people have been fighting things from the enemy this week. And let's acknowledge that the enemy is not sleeping. And he's certainly not sleeping on us, because we are continuing to go forward and continuing to seek him, and we are continuing to have the Holy Spirit work in our lives. It wasn't but 1 or 2 weeks ago where we said to the effect, to our last breath, we will seek the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything else that would be strike more terror in the enemy than a comment like that. If you have a people that are dedicated to seek God to their last breath, he knows he's lost. So it doesn't surprise me at all to hear about people who have bad days or bad test results or bad this or bad that, or they don't feel good about this or they don't feel good about that. That's the business the enemy is in. And God's business is to remind us that that's just a distraction. And he will allow you to rise above that if you stay focused on him. Now, I wish I could tell you I knew exactly how to do that. That's that last little bit that you need to get from here to there. And I don't. I don't claim to have the answers. But I do know that if I'm looking, the chances are that things will be better than if I'm not looking. That and keeping my heart open to the fact that he wants me to be in a better place. It's his heart that I'm moving forward in a good way. So I got to get the heck out of the way, and I got to get the enemy out of my thinking. Pablo said something a few weeks back that's so true and bears repeating today. Get every thought towards God. Get every thought towards God. So don't let the negative thoughts take control, or don't entertain them.
One thing I said a while ago, I'm going to say it again. So Peter, Jesus tells Peter, he says, come in the water, you know, walk in the water. Sorry, if it is you, command me to come to you. I mean, it kind of doesn't make sense, because why did Peter have to go to, why didn't Jesus go in the boat, you know what I mean? But it's just one of those things. Anyways, so Peter, so he's so excited. He's walking on water. This is no get be healed. This is walking on water. I think it's a step up from be healed, you know what I mean? It's one of those things, for me at least. So he's walking on water to Jesus. No problem. He's looking at Jesus. Things are working. He's looking at Jesus, coming to Jesus. But what does Peter do? He does a Pablo.
I thought I read that.
It's in the Bible. All of a sudden it says, and the wind picks up, and the storm is... So now Peter is now taking signs from Jesus. The storm didn't, nothing changed. How many seconds was it that this happened? A few seconds, you know. Now Peter, he starts looking to the side, the other side. Now his focus is not on Jesus no more. That was the problem. The problem is not that the storm all of a sudden showed up. The storm has been there all the time. Peter wasn't aware of it because he was looking at Jesus. He's coming to Jesus. He looks around. And he starts to think. Obviously, he starts to think. What else is he expecting? He takes his focus away from Jesus. I call that a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'd like to say an old problem, but he's thinking, he says, Lord, help me. I mean, I'm no home. You know, yeah, I'll help you out. He grabs him by the hand, pulls him out. And the moral of the story, you know, or one of the thousands of the morals of the story is like, keep your eyes on the Lord. Because the storm is always there. And like I said, nothing changed in 3 seconds, you know, in 2 steps. Nothing changed. I mean, they could talk to Jesus, so he wasn't that far away from the boat. Keep your focus on the Lord, no matter what, no matter what. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. You know what I mean? Keep your eyes on the Lord, and on the Lord only, on the Lord only.
Oh, yes.
And another thing is like, and I said this in the past too, who was speaking? I don't remember who was speaking, but anyway, so here's Jesus, whatever, and the devil takes no break or whatever. But the devil is, Jesus says to Pilate, you have no power over me unless it's been given to you from above. So the devil has no power over us unless it's been given to him from above.
That's right.
The devil can only do what has been given to him to do. Okay? So what happens is, it is the work of the devil, for sure. If the devil is at work, he's at play, he's moving pieces, he's affecting your life. But still, power was given to him to do that. So no matter how much that it is the devil, the one that moving the sticks, or however you want to say it, he's still got behind it. Now, that is the difference between stranger to the Word of God, and to me at least, not stranger to the Word of God. When something bad happens, yes, the devil. But it was given from the Lord to do it. God says, okay, do it. It's fine. So when you know that, you're in a much better place, because if you go from the difference from the devil did this to God allowed it. God is still in charge. And when God is in charge, it's different. So, the devil himself entered into Judas to betray Jesus. This is 100%, not mainly, 100% the devil at work. This is the devil in his playground. This is the devil in, this is the devil's field day. This is his the day of days for the devil. He gets to kill the one that God said to save us. And the devil, for as much power as is given to him, he doesn't know. You see, God knows. The devil doesn't know. So the devil can only work at the moment, you know. So he's okay, well, this is what I'm going to do, says the devil. I'm going to kill Jesus. And it looks like I'm going to be able to do it. God must have made a mistake, and I'm going to kill him as soon as possible. And he does. He kills him. Yeah. Jesus gets crucified because of what the devil did. The devil was given the power to be able to betray Jesus and die on the cross. And that's where the Bible ends.
No.
That is actually where the Bible starts. That is where the Bible starts. And now the devil, it wasn't given to him to keep doing his thing. That's where his power starts. So God said, so you wanted to kill the devil? Yeah, you can kill the devil. This is what I'm going to do. I'm gonna raise him from the dead. That is now the end of the story. He's going to raise him from the dead. In that process, he's never going to die again. His life begins. His real life begins forever and ever and ever and ever. And that is still not the end of the story. So now, now Jesus has life forever. He's alive today. He's better alive than I am today. But in the process of him dying on the cross and resurrecting, he saved us from our sins. Now we don't go to hell. Now if you believe in him, you go to heaven. All that to say, yes, the devil is at work. He did something. But the Bible says, all things work for good for those that love the Lord. And Jesus, more than I know that this, knew that when he was being betrayed by the devil. That's why he wasn't, yeah, betraying the devil, do your thing on the same way. He didn't want to do it, but he did it. And again, all things work for good for those that. I never remember if it's love the Lord or trust the Lord or love and trust the Lord, but either way, all things work for good for those that love the Lord and trust the Lord. And anyways, so in my case with my stroke months ago, it's a horrible thing, it's a bad thing, but I do know that all things, and this is part of all things. All things work for good for those that love and trust the Lord. So, yeah, is the devil doing his thing? Is the devil working? Yeah. Who gave him power? God. Now, it's up to us to know. Do we know why he's doing it? Where did he get the power? Who gave him the, you know, when you're running a race and you give him the stick, who gave him the stick? God gave him the stick. And boom, he gets it. And he's done. So know that. And is the devil playing in your life? Is the devil doing something? Yeah, God gave him the power. And all things work for good for those that love and trust in the Lord. And you love and trust in the Lord. So abide in the scripture. Jump on it. Dwell on it.
Amen. You know, I think about there at the end of the book of Luke, when they're on the road to Emmaus, and those disciples, boy, they are so despondent. Their hopes have been up, and then the hope is just plain extinguished. You know, that it turns out to be a totally false hope. And they are just super depressed and discouraged and everything, you know? And I imagine that if somebody else had come along and told them, you know, all things work together for good, for, you know, those of you, they would not have bought that.
No.
They would not have bought that. They would have, oh, that's just a bunch of happy talk that is just not true. You know? And here, you know, this glorious thing has happened that required them to, but in order for the glorious thing to happen, the thing that they thought was just so terrible, the end of all their hopes or whatever, it had to occur. And that reminds me of things that go on in our own lives. Oh, it reminds me of things that go on in our own lives. They can be, where can God be in this? Pretty obvious he couldn't be in this. So don't, I'm not about to listen to your all things work together. You know, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. That's just not so. It is so.
For those that love the Lord.
That's right.
Right.
I mean, it's not for everybody. So it's for those that love the Lord or trust. I got a
reason. You were referencing Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God,
mm-hmm.
to them who are called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So love. I was listening to you share, Paolo, and I was thinking, you know, God allows bad things to happen for greater good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a really big book in the Bible called Job. I mean, it's not only is it showing that, but it's a big book. I mean, you look at it, it goes on. I mean, God goes out of his way to show that there can be a lot and lot of bad things. Even from a good place, a lot of bad things, and all the people around you are going to say, you know, God's a good God, wouldn't do this. And God says, well, Job never took his eye off of God, to use the vernacular of the day. And God doubly blessed him. So, I mean, if you ever wanted an example of bad things will happen, and God's allowing bad things to happen, and why would a good God allow bad things to happen? Well, because a greater good is yet to come, and you just don't know it. And if you want scriptural grounding for that, well, Job's a good example.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I heard a portion of the Bible that was running in our house. You know, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and everyone is cheering or whatever they're doing. And the Pharisees tell Jesus, rebuke your disciples. You know, shush them up here. And Jesus responds, well, if they weren't cheering, the rocks would cry out. I don't like to see that.
Yeah.
So the rocks crying out. I would have. That'd be good. That would be good. That is, it seems pretty, well, it is pretty extreme, like a rock's crying out, but, hey, it's in the Bible, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, Maybe someday we'll see some rocks crying out. Maybe they'd be up in that waterfall there. It's all lit up in there.
Well, I was just kind of reading. Oh my gosh. I don't look in Colossians very often for a particular reason. I don't, but in chapter 3 of Colossians, the heading of my chapter 3 says Rules for Holy Living. And I was just going to read, but I'm going to read from the New International Version in this Bible. In chapter 15, so 3:15 in Colossians, just kind of, I don't know, I felt this an encouragement. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with gratitude in your heart. Mm-hmm. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in all the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I just thought that was really, you know, I mean, it's like, we're one body, you know. Let's start doing those things. I mean, let's be positive, because, you know, if you look for the bad, you're going to find it. If you look for the good, you're going to find it. It's kind of your choice.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
And unfortunately, it seems easier to find the bad than the good. It seems like you have to work just a little harder to find the good sometimes.
Because we're human.
Because we're human. We don't do so good.
Right. Yeah.
That's because we prejudge too fast.
Yeah. Because of our nature.
Yeah. God made us to have a choice.
Yes.
He made us free will. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to. Do we have a free will to choose good or a free will to choose bad? It's up to us. God is there to help us and to be there for us. But we have to choose.
There's a scripture, I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And is that the Old Testament or New? I'm not sure.
I think so, yeah.
New. Yeah, but it could be in the Psalms or the Proverbs.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes.
Huh? Where's this?
Ecclesiastes.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Mm-hmm. So I guess we better be patient.
Yeah.
Every one of the translations says the word patient.
And lest anyone get the idea that I'm defeated in this, I'm not. As you get older, you get more difficulties, and it's a little harder. But God has been faithful in what he has been doing. And a number of years ago, Twyla Bakken, who still lives on the street, had a vision. And in this vision, she saw me standing at the back door with a sword, a sharp sword, and I was whacking people with it, and people were being cut, and it was, I mean, it was a vision. And it came to life about 20 years ago, and anyway, it came, but it was not anything like I expected. And I was given the sword, and I began to cut with it. Only the sword was not a physical sword. It's the word of God. Because it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, it says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I have been having some things happen just recently. And I listen to the scriptures just about nonstop. And I had a problem, and the problem was, and of course my wife had the same difficulty, but I couldn't listen to the scriptures at night because they'd keep me awake. And so, but now I listen to them all night long, and the biggest blessing I've ever had. And I have found myself living in what I was hearing. I was part of it. I can't even explain it, but it makes you laugh, it makes you cry, it makes you all kinds of things, because it's a real life experience. It's a real thing. And so, anyway, I love it. I love the fact that I can listen to it. Awake and hear it, and then next thing I know, I'm sleeping. I still hear it, and I love it. But we are told that few there be that find it, or that many are called, and only a few are chosen. And I'm not exactly sure of the application or the what it all stands for, but what it does, it drives me to, with whatever energy I have, to want God and want the promises and want eternal life. I don't want to miss it.
Mm.
And it kind of puts us in a certain place sometimes. And I feel it in the church. The same way people are feeling the same thing I am. It's like what a shame it would be to have spent a whole life in church listening to the scriptures and not make it. Mm. What a shame it would be.
Mm.
But that is a possibility, and I don't want that.
No, me neither.
Are you feeling like it could be?
It could be, yeah.
That it could be you that listen to scriptures for your life and not make it.
No, I'm just saying that. What a shame it would be. You know, to spend going to church day after day or whatever and still not make it.
Well, the righteous scarcely be saved. So.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Mm.
Yeah, the righteous shall scarcely be saved. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
On the one hand, my reaction anyway is, well, that's not a real good deal. On the other hand, maybe that's just fine, you know, to perpetually be in a place of kind of, I don't know, apprehension is exactly the right word, but something along those lines. Be it, hey, you better not go coasting here, fella. Don't think you can do that. That's better for me. It's better for me to think, you start coasting, and you might not like where you end up coasting to, you know? And that's all right. That's all right.
Well, it's like anything else in life. You get out of it, what you put into it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't put anything into it, you're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so just showing up every Sunday, you know, and you're not putting anything into it. Yeah, I can see that. I'm probably a good example of that. You know. Yeah, I'm being honest. You know,
we have shared recently that there's nothing we can do that guarantees eternal life. Nothing we can do. So it's wrong to sit there and say, well, I've done all these things and I still might not make it. Because we're going to make it because of our hearts being open, seeking, and God's grace.
I mean, you know, that's a biggie.
Yeah. Hey, salvation's a work of grace. It just plain is.
So I mean, I understand where you come from, Keith. And you know, on the other hand, everybody's in that boat. I mean, we've got all of these things that could pile up to whom much is given, much is expected. You know, so the bar's higher for those who spent their entire life, you know, seeking God. You know, but that's where we have to put our trust in the Lord. You know, if you're doing all that you can do, you should feel like you've done all you can do, and then God will do the rest. But I have to fight all the time the feeling that, despite doing or feeling I've done all I can do, that maybe that wasn't enough. But if I think I've done all I can do, then I can't feel too bad about it. It is what God's plan is then at that point. I choose to be positive about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
I've done all that I can do. I believe God will make a way, and grace will fall, and I'll be in heaven. That's my plan. Mm-hmm. But
so have we really done all we can do?
Well, that's the part.
Yeah.
Put that right up there with Keith's favorite saying. I love his saying. That's what God meant by what he said. You know, the unwritten part is, well, we really don't know for sure what he meant. But he meant by, that's what he meant by what he said. And then you go, well, what does that mean? And then you wait on the Holy Spirit. Because look at all the things that we've heard and know. Well, we find out that we never heard and never knew. Years later. That's when God moved, because we weren't ready to hear it before. So, while Glenn is saying, gee, I'm sitting here, I don't know, you know, I'm going, the fact that you're still sitting here leaves it open that, yep, you got it wrong back to me.
I hope the church is going to make it this morning the way I was feeling. You know, physically, not spiritually, physically, you know.
I'm glad you clarified that.
You know, but, venture for it. You know. But when you praying for a keep there, Charlie, I was thinking, you know, we all want that same thing. We all want it. Everyone here wants it.
Sure.
You know? But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think when we say we've done all we can do, it puts a settling of and I've done all I can do, kind of to me, would make me feel like I was letting myself off the hook of continuing. Because I continue daily. I've always been a prayer. Even in my years of what I've always just been a prayer. I like to pray, whatever. But, you know, just since Pablo's stroke, it's like there's certain days that I feel like I've done all I can do to help him for today. I've given him his little drops and his coconut water and his pillow and his, you know. So then I pray. Well, then I pray and he still has the discomfort. Well, I've done all I can do. I prayed what, you know. Well, guess what? I got to get back down on my knees on the side of the bed while he's trying to sleep, and I got to pray again. Because I haven't done all I can do until I'm actually continually doing what I need to be doing. And I know what you're saying, Quirky. But in my thing, it's like, if I've done all I can do to serve the Lord and to minister to my husband, and he's good, then I'm going to go do all I can do for over here. Because if I continue in that, the Lord will continue to honor and give me. But to feel ever when I'm in the position of, well, Lord, I've done all I can do, the Lord is already where he wants me to be. And so he's here, and I'm like, well, I've done all I can do. You have to meet me here. And he's like, yeah, I know, Peter, but just walk. Well, I've already... So I myself actually never want to feel that I've done all I can do. And I'm not refuting what you said, but I have just learned that I have to keep going despite. And I've done all I can do? I haven't. Because if I've done all I can do, then I will reach God. Because his promises, every single promise in that word, A to Z, is true for me if I believe and I trust. So once I get to the point where I've done all I can do, I am proclaiming in front of all of you, I want to go beyond that. I want to keep going.
I'm getting old, so if I said that I felt that I've done all I can
no,
do.
No.
I was
no.
Just exactly what you're saying.
Right.
It's like, I've done all I can do, and the answer is no, you haven't.
Right. I'm saying when people say that,
oh yes,
at that point is the scripture that says, in whatever, yet your sin still remains. You know, the one that basically, like, if you know everything, yet, you know. So I am like, I feel, okay, Lord, I've done everything. And then I feel I'm going, you have? What about this? Or, you know what I mean? Like, continue on, and I will meet you. Because every promise is true. No matter if I'm worn out, no matter if I'm tired, no matter if I'm worn down, no matter if my head is going a mile, you know, every different direction, I'm going to continue on until I'm the most beaten up, battered soldier. But I will continue on. And so I never want to be in the position of, okay, well, I've done everything, Lord, where are you? And he's just laughing, like, no, you haven't come all the way to me, you know?
I agree.
So, I just...
Is there a scripture that says, having done all, then I forget the rest of it? Having done all?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what's the rest of it? I can't think of it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I've done all the stand and stand.
That's the full armor of God, Barb.
No. Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
That armor.
Yeah.
See, I think in the physical, as time goes on, you get older, you've done all you can do physically. But in the spiritual, I don't think there's a limit.
Right.
There you go.
There is no limit on what you can do.
Right.
You know? But physically?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the time.
Yes.
When
yes.
You can't do what you used to do.
Yeah.
Done it all. You know. So we have to separate the part, the two.
Definitely.
You know.
Yeah.
The scripture is Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Ephesians 3:6-13.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, for myself, I know darn well I haven't got all I could do. No, any day.
Yeah.
I don't do all I could do. I just don't.
Yeah, but there's some things you can't do anymore. I got to face the fact.
Well, that is true.
There aren't ladders anymore.
That is true. That is true. But above beyond there, there's some things I could do that I failed to do. So,
yeah, that's my point. And you have to realize there are some things you can't do. In the physical.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then in those times that you can't do that thing physically, just pray.
Pray to the Lord. What else can I do? Pray.
Then I don't do that either. So.
as Candy's reciting, I've been praying for Pablo for 10 hours and 17 minutes and 52 seconds. I can't do anymore. You can't pray for 7 hours and 18 minutes?
Right.
You can't pray for another 15 seconds?
Right.
And then you start wrestling with yourself. Well, yeah, I probably could. Well, then you haven't done all you can do.
Right.
I mean, there's a trick in the world, some of you may know it. They'll ask you to self-evaluate your performance at work. And you know why they do that? Because you know when you were slacking. And then it's a matter of whether you're going to be straight up honest about it, saying, yeah, I could have worked a little harder on this. I only gave it 9 hours, only 10 would have been better. And you're forced to say, and those who have good conscience, who have a strong conscience, probably end up getting a poor review because I could have laid that tile a little better. I could have taken an extra 10 seconds, did that piece a little bit better, or it's good enough. And while that works in certain things, you don't want to sit there and say, my love for God and my prayer closet is good enough. I decided it was good enough. No. I think we're all saying, keep striving and take on the position that you got to keep striving and that you can do more. I mean, there are things if someone says, okay, I've walked 10 miles, I cannot take another step today, I'm done. I really cannot do any more of that. But that doesn't mean I can't do something else.
Well, and I feel like, I pray for this and that, little things, big things. My mom always said, God cares what we care about, so I pray for it all. But if you pray, and you're praying for a specific thing, whatever, and if, of course, everything is God's will. But if there's something there, very important, and it's not done, or it's not done instantaneously, or it doesn't feel like it's in your favor, but you just can't, whatever, you know what? Keep praying. Because God dwells in the praises of his people, and he inhabits the ones that praise and dwell in him. And so my job is then to keep asking. I'm not asking for a brand new car, unless I needed a car to get to work, to, whatever. So then those things. But whatever you pray, keep praying. Keep praying until you see the breakthrough or you see God's different direction of said thing. You know what I mean? Maybe all of a sudden the bus line comes through and you can take the bus for 35 cents. Okay, I know, not really. But you know what I mean? Just keep praying. Keep praying. Physical need, spiritual need. You can't feel like you can't walk another block. Feel like you can't lift a bucket. Feel like you can't get past the anxiety. Spiritual, physical, keep praying. Keep praying. Don't stop. Because you'll see a breakthrough one way or another. God will break through.
Yep, and like I said, just might not be as fast as you want it to be.
Right, but maybe he's teaching you something in that. because I've learned many different times and things I've prayed for, it's like, you know what, if he would have answered that prayer, then I wouldn't have learned this lesson about me, or I wouldn't have been able to help this person over here. You know, had this not continued, or had God snapped and made it great at that time, there wouldn't have been a continuance of something that was important, that was needed. And so,
many emperors are answered way after the fact. And the only reason it was answered way after the fact is because you weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we've kind of determined that's why we didn't get the revelation. Keith didn't get the revelation about, if you want to find me, you got to go where I am. I mean, I think that would have been a fine revelation to hear 30 years earlier. But apparently, according to God, we weren't ready for it then.
Is that a little bit like, oh, I didn't know the scriptures in the Bible? Always been in there.
Well, I didn't know what that scripture meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one that always strikes me. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like Pablo, you know, I was, it's important for people with brain injuries or people that have a hard time speaking or whatever, is that you have them sing. Or how, la 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 la. Singing takes a different part of your brain than speaking. So it operates a different, so some people that have a hard time speaking, you can get them to sing. So I've just learned a lot about the brain lately. But I told Pablo, I said, you know, even the world, science has discovered what's one of the things for anxiety. You read, you know, 10 fun things for anxiety, one of them is humming or singing. To get somebody out of the place of anxiety, depression, sadness, whatever. And so I told Pablo, you know, we used to sing, put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know what heaviness is? Pablo's body is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds are heavy. Our spirits are heavy. My back hurts, it's heavy. Heaviness is heaviness. It doesn't say. You know, so one person's heaviness is not another person's heaviness. But I know that the Bible says to put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Sing it out. You know, you can't sing a worship song and feel depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I tried. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
One will take over, and then you get to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he inhabits the praises of his people, praise, sing. I mean, those scriptures are full. The Bible is full of the scriptures about sing praise all ye saints, all the way from Old Testament to New Testament. Sing, 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 rejoice, joy, make music, make melody. They're all over in there.
Make a joyful noise.
Yep. Yep.
I think they did that for non singers.
Yes. Those that can sing, sing loud. The other ones, just make the melody.
Joyful noise.
Just make the sound. That's where the stringed instruments come. All you saints, sing or just play that tambourine.
No one has an excuse.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it even... The la 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 la, this stimulates your vagus nerve, la 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 la, which is drives the anxiety through your body. And science discovered that. I'm sorry, science. It was already written.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm sorry. It was already written. We were already told to sing praise. So, you know, I'm glad that you discovered it. But so then even people that don't follow the Lord or follow the Bible, they're still singing, who knows, a country song or a theme of the blah, you know. But I told Pablo, you know, I think of Joe Hack. He was always a humming. He was, I know he suffered anxiety and whatever, so he probably was just humming his way through it. He was a hummer. Yes. I remember when he lived with us off and on, and my mom would be in the kitchen singing Linda Hamilton and Carole Pack, and Joe Hack would be laying on my couch humming a whole different tune. But he was humming.
Mm. Oh, my.
I was thinking of a scripture in Philippians that says, in verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I haven't made it yet. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, and I press towards the mark of the for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."
Oh, yes.
And I guess that kind of is the basis of how I feel.
Mm.
I don't feel like I've accomplished the goal, you know. And it's not that I can, but you know, there was an illustration in where Jesus talked about this Pharisee who said, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men," and he gives his resume of all of his good things, it sounded like what he said was phenomenal.
Mm.
And then the publican comes along and he says, and he can't even lift his eyes towards heaven. He says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "This man went home justified rather than the other." I'm not using that as any kind of an illustration for myself. I'm saying God's purposes and his will are a lot different than what we think, what our human mind comes up with. We can't come up with what he does. But the fact that God looks on the heart and he sees what we're thinking, it has a lot to do with the whole picture, you know what I mean? He can't be fooled. God is not mocked. So whatever is in our heart is actually us. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So is he.
It's best not to forget that parable.
Yeah. Anyway, in spite of it all, it's good.
Yes, amen.
It's good. Well, hopefully today is the last day of Caden's ball games. what you always are set up for about between 10 and 1 o'clock on Sundays. Is there anything about those hours that give him a difficulty? We could change our service times.
We should probably remember to pray for Brittany. We should probably remember to pray for Brittany.
But I just want to include something here. Yeah, I listened to the scriptures all night, but so does Caden. And at first I didn't know what it was, because I kept hearing it, but I think it's a psalm, I'm not sure. But he plays a psalm all night.
Sounds good.
Yeah. He's a little sweetheart.
Hmm.
He did too good with his ball game, so he had to play today.